It is not looking like a happy new year for most state governments. Tax revenues are falling, but expenses, particularly for the Medicaid health program for the poor, are rising at double-digit rates. NPR's Julie Rovner has this report on some difficult decisions facing state officials concerning medical care.
When you hear the phrase government health program, most people think of Medicare, the federal program for the elderly and disabled. But Medicaid, the health program for the poor, whose cost is shared by states and the federal government, surpassed Medicare a couple of years ago, says Matt Salo of the National Governors Association.
Medicaid is the largest health program in the country. It has more people than Medicare, it costs more money than Medicare, and it is growing faster than Medicare.
And therein lies the problem. A report issued last month said state budgets are in the worst shape since World War II. And the biggest culprit is Medicaid. The health program grew by 13% last year, and Medicaid spending is already the second largest item in virtually every state's budget. Salo says that's a dangerous combination.
Growth that large in a program that big is unsustainable even in a booming economy. And as I've said, this economy is terrible.
States faced similar problems last year when revenues fell while health costs rose. But most governors and legislatures were able to get by with only minimal cuts to Medicaid. Some plugged funding gaps with rainy day funds built up during the boom years. Others used proceeds from tobacco lawsuit settlements. This year looks far more difficult, Salo says.
We're going to see millions of people get pink slipped from Medicaid. All the fat has been trimmed. We're left with just meat and bone. And we're looking at a budget shortfall in Medicaid of at least $25 billion this year. And there's no way to get at it except draconian cuts.
Oklahoma is one of the states facing such cuts. Mike Fogarty heads the Oklahoma Health Care Authority.
The eligibility cuts, I think, it's not a matter of whether they're going to have to be done. It's only a question of when.
Fogarty says the state was able to make up last year's shortfall from the state's rainy day fund and some small cuts to Medicaid. It cut back on dental care provided to adults. Some mental health services were trimmed, and the state reduced from 24 to 15 the number of hospital days the program will cover for adults. Already this year, word has come from the governor's office that Medicaid costs will have to be cut by more than 6%. And Fogarty says the numbers for next year look worse still.
What we call the doomsday, which would be to actually run the federally minimum required program, is something that we still have on the table.
Cutting Medicaid to federal minimums would mean eliminating Oklahoma's children's health insurance program. It would also mean cutting most coverage of home health care and prescription drugs. Altogether, nearly 80,000 Oklahomans would lose coverage under the cuts, which have already been approved and postponed twice. The most frustrating part of cutting back, says Fogarty, is the fact that Oklahoma only pays 30% of Medicaid costs. The federal government picks up the rest. That means to save a dollar in state funds, the program must cut nearly $3 worth of services.
You know, it's a great investment when you have the dollar to invest because of the federal match, but it certainly hurts going the other direction.
Oklahoma's not alone in facing difficult choices when it comes to Medicaid. Diane Rowland is a senior vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, which last summer commissioned a survey of state Medicaid programs. She says the results were uniformly grim.
40 states say they're really going to have to take a look at reining in prescription drug costs. 29 states are looking at freezing or reducing payments to hospitals and physicians. Another 18 are talking about restricting eligibility for the program, limiting who can get coverage. And others are looking at reducing benefits or increasing cost sharing and co-payments that people on Medicaid would have to pay when they receive services.
Governors, who by and large would rather not cut benefits, blame Washington for their plight. Salo says the federal government just hasn't kept its promise to seniors on Medicare, shoving many costs onto Medicaid instead. He points out that one-third of Medicaid spending is on people who are also eligible for Medicare.
That's $80 billion a year that states are paying because Medicare doesn't cover drugs, doesn't cover any long-term care, has very high copays and premiums and deductibles. And, you know, is that the state's fault? No. You know, that's the fault of the federal government and Medicare.
What Democratic and Republican governors most want is for the federal government to take full responsibility for so-called dual eligibles who qualify both for Medicare and Medicaid. At a minimum, they want more flexibility to tailor coverage to meet the needs of particular populations. But while the states and the federal government continue to argue about who should pay for what, it's the Medicaid recipients facing loss of their health coverage who stand to get hurt, says Roland. Most, she says, will simply become uninsured.
So what happens when you try to cut Medicaid is you leave the poorest and the frailest members of our society with nowhere to go except to try and get care in a patchwork quilt of safety net providers.
The Democratic-led Senate last summer voted overwhelmingly to give states an additional $9 billion over the next 18 months to help with Medicaid costs. But that proposal died in the Republican House. Now that Republicans have taken over the Senate, too, it's not clear if or when states can expect any help from the federal government. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.